Once again, I do want to thank you for your presence. And St. John, chapter 1. Y'all just pray for me this morning. And we will just pray that the Lord will speak through me this morning, because I cannot do it without Him. And I know if I stand here this morning alone without Him, I know that I'll stumble, I'll fall, I'll just mess the whole thing up. But I know the Lord, you know, He is faithful and He is just to do what we asked Him to do. But here this morning in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." And verse 10 says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." We can go back to the book of Corinthians, and where Paul's letter is speaking to the church. And we know where the church come about. It come about, I think it was in the third chapter of the book of Acts. We know what the church is all about. We do, as individuals. We know the reason we are here, the reason we're here this morning, is to worship and to praise God and to rejoice in what He has done for each one of us this morning. But here, as we look at here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, "But if our gospel be hid." But if our gospel be hid. It is hid to them that are lost. So if we don't share the gospel to the people that we come in contact with, it is not that we have to quote verses, or we have to say this or that. Only thing we have to do is just say that God loves them. That's the gospel. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, we're speaking about his birth. We're speaking about his death, and we're thinking about his burial and his resurrection. All four of them is the gospel. I know a whole lot of times when we think about the gospel, we'll always mention about the gospel. Say the gospel is the death and the burial of the resurrection of Christ. That is true, but we leave one main ingredient out of it, and that is the birth. That is his birth. There has never been a birth like that since then, and there will never be a birth.
like that again.
Why? Because it was one birth. And we are the same way. I have two birthdays. My first birthday is my human birthday, my humanity, where my mother gave birth unto me. That was May the 27th, 1950. But I have the second birth, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important birth in my life. And that's the most important birth that should be in your life also. And it should be in the life of each and every Christian. And how do we experience that birth? We had experienced that birth, that new birth, through the light of someone else that was willing to come and to bring us that source of light, in which we know the Word of God is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ when He's speaking about the light. That we need to let our light shine. We should not take it and put our light up under a bushel basket. It says in verse 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, and I believe that's what he's talking about right here. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan has people stumbling in darkness today. Satan has people out here in darkness today. And he's giving them all the things that they want. And he just don't give them what they need. He gives them what they want. We don't need to worry about what we want. We need to worry about it, what we need. And what we need, and not only what I need, and what every other individual in this world today that needs, they need Christ. They need Jesus Christ to be the center of the life. And if he's not the center of the life, then Satan is the center of the life. Because you can either serve one or the other. You cannot serve God and serve mammon or serve Satan at the same time. You cannot do it. It's impossible to do that. If you serve God, and if you serve Satan, all both at the same time, 9 times out of 10, you're going to lean over to the ways of Satan. How many times have you heard when a couple gets married, and one of the couples, either the bride or the bridegroom, they in church, they faithful to God and everything, and they say, well, and you go and can, the pastor goes and counsels them and everything. And they tell you, say, well, I'm saved. I'm faithful to God. I love him today, and I know when I was saved. And the other individual won't mention anything about it. And you can ask them, are they saved? They say, no. They may say that they hope they are. It's no hope-so in salvation. It's a no-so in salvation. But in looking at that, we can always come back, and a whole lot of times it's the bride, and a whole lot of times the groom does it too. They'll say, well, she will say, I know he's not in church. I don't know if he's saved or not, but he's probably not. I'll get him in church. He'll come to church for me. He may come one or two times right at first. But then something's going to come up. Something's going to come up on his job. Something's going to come up
around the home that's going to keep him from coming one Sunday. The next Sunday, it's going to be something else. The next thing you know, the wife is out of church. The same thing with the husband. The husband could be saved and love God and love the church. And I was always here. The pastor don't even have to worry about asking them to do anything because they're always there. They're doing it before the pastor even brings it up. And they said, well, I'm going to try my very best. I'm going to do all I can to get my wife in church. It won't happen. Sometimes it does. And if they do get in church right at first, and they're there for a year, or something like that, serving God and everything, they'll eventually end up getting out of church. Why? Because they're unequally yoked. They're not yoked together. They're not one. They're still separated. They're still apart. They need to realize when they come before the pastor and the preacher of that day and when they get married that they must remember the symbol of what the ring really means. This ring right here is nothing but metal, is all it is. Nothing but metal is all it is. But you know what's a symbol of? The unbroken love that we have toward God. And it should mean also the unbroken love that we have for one another and for our spouse. I've told y'all many times before, yes, I loved my wife when we got married, but I did not know what love was all about. I did not know what true love was all about. You know what I thought love was? I'm going to be honest. And I said, bring it up this way, but it's the truth. It's the sexual part of it. But when I got saved, the day that I got saved, that Monday afternoon, when I fell in love with Jesus, that is when I fell in love with my wife. That's when I fell in love with her and I cared for her and I wanted the very best for her. Oh yeah, I said I wanted the very best for her before when I got married. But really, truthfully, I probably didn't. It was something that I wanted. It ain't something I needed. I needed God. I needed God. And you know what? You know what really got me more than anything? When I was lost, it was two individuals in my life. My grandmother, she didn't talk to me about God a whole lot. She would say a little something, but she wouldn't drill it into me. But she would tell us that, she would tell me and my other brother, the one there that's in heaven, and she would tell us both, before you can come out this summer, you know what you got to do. You got to make a promise. And we had to make a promise to her that we would not fight her, and we will not give her any problems about going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Oh yeah, I'd rather stay at home. I'd rather stay at home with my granddaddy. Well, she was praying for us. She wanted us to be there and hear something from the book, from the man of God. And I believe the pastor at that time, I believe, he's dead now, and he's there in heaven. But I honestly believe that he was a man of God. He was concerned about individuals. And you have to be concerned about individuals. If I'm not concerned about people, if I'm not concerned about the family, if I'm not concerned about the lost that's out here, if I'm not concerned about the Christian that's out here that's not in church today, that won't come and says, "Well, something happened so many years ago, I just can't go back." You allow something so many years ago happen to interrupt your fellowship with God. That's what we do. We'll interrupt our fellowship with God. When we're not in church, we cannot rejoice over the things of God. Why? Because we don't know the things that God has there in the book for. Look at the individuals that used to be in church, but now they've been out of church for so long. Look at all the blessings of God that they have lost. Look at all the blessings that they've missed out on. You say, "Well, God's still blessing them." Hey, they still got a good health. They still got a job. And they still breathing. Hey, let me ask you something else too. That lost individual right here, they still got their health. Some of them have. They still got their life. They still have their jobs. So we can't just say, "Well, hey, well, God blessed it." Yeah, God has blessed them, but they don't realize it. Of all the blessings that God has given each one of us this morning, from the very moment that we woke up, the very moment we woke up, look at the miracles that He has performed within the body of this church. Within each and one of our lives, He has performed miracles that we don't even think is miracles anymore. But they are miracles. Why? Because, see, God is the only one that can raise us up from the bed, can raise us up and where we can be able to put our feet on the floor, and where we'll be able to breathe and see and hear. And I know some people, they can't see, like Brother Stamps. But I want to tell you something about Brother Stamps. When he get to heaven, the first thing he gonna see, whoo, is the glory of God. He gonna see Jesus Christ face to face. The first eyesight that he's gonna look upon. Did you realize people today, they are so blind to the gospel that they can't even see the handwriting that God had placed on the wall? In the book of Daniel, Daniel had a dream. And there, Daniel, he seen on the wall the handwriting that God had put there for him. What did he do? He trusted that handwriting. He trusted in what he'd seen. Because if he didn't trust in what he'd seen and what he'd been through, I think he would have fought a little harder. And if nothing else, he would have fought. I don't believe he even fought. When they said that they was going to put him where the den of lions was at. Where they were, where the lions was at. I don't believe he fought them back one bit. I really don't. Because he knew who he trusted. He knew who was with him there. When they placed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace. But when they placed them three there in the fiery furnace. You gonna hear something?
Yeah, I know Wednesday night.
Good. We're gonna be praying. We're gonna be praying. You'll hit the right stuff.
That's right.
Amen. All right. But there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they was in that fiery furnace, and then when the soldiers come around, and when the enemy of them come around, and Nehemiah told them, said, you go check them out and see what's going on within the furnace. What did he do? They went and they looked inside. What did they see? They saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then it said they saw someone else. It was a fourth man now. And he looked like the Son of God. That's what the scripture tells us. But it could have been Daniel. It could have been Daniel. Could have been Daniel. Because Daniel. And it could have been Donald Mahan. It could have been you. Why? He said it was like unto the Son of God. We're the children of God. I'm the Son of God. Daniel was the Son of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were also the Son of God. But did you think
that they was in there moaning and groaning? Nope. What did Nebuchadnezzar tell the individuals there? He said, go and turn the furnace up. Go turn it up 7 times hotter than what it is now. Then over there a little farther, it says 70 times 7. Which is speaking about the forgiveness that we must give people. We must forgive people, not just one time, but 70 times 7. 70 times 7 is 144. No, more than that. It's, what is, I can't even think right now. It don't make no difference. I know it's the numbers up there. It's a great number. But you know what that means, 70 times 7? That means that if we forgive somebody 70 times, and it's 7 times that, what does it tell you? That we need to always forgive them.
It's 409.
But we need to always remember. I honestly believe that I could pick out any one of you this morning and ask you right now, to turn to somebody and say, I forgive you. And you do it 70 times 7. Which they say is 490, which is right. That's right. I just couldn't think at the time. But you could say it. You could go 1, 2, 3. You can. Somebody else can count to them say it. When you get to 490, you probably won't win. Why? Because something else will come. I forgive you. You'll automatically have it in your heart. What is that word that everybody used? I can't never think of it, but replicate. What is it? Over and over and over.
Repetition.
Yeah. We need to get to that point in our life that that's what we need to do. We need to have that in our heart. The repetition of forgiving people. Not only for just forgiving people, but witnessing to them. We don't witness to them. We witness to them in our own way. Why did God, all through the book, all through the Bible, New Testament and Old Testament, why did he put it down? Testimony. Why do we have testimony time? What is a testimony? The testimony is the testimony of an individual's life since they've been saved. Because you don't hear anybody say anything about their testimony before they got saved. They don't brag about what they have done before. They don't brag about, you know, I'm serving the devil. This past weekend, I went out here and I had me a bottle. Went out here and I just went on and pulled a good old-fashioned drunk. I went out here and I done this. And I went over to my buddy's house. And we just sat there and drank and smoked pot, crack. You don't hear them talking about that. We know that they do that. Why? Because we hear it from other people. But what our testimony is the life that we live for Him. So people can see something in our life. Over there in the book of Joshua, Caleb, speaking about somebody that had a testimony. If I had a testimony, which I think I do, and I brag on the Lord all the time, but I think I would love to have all the characteristics of a testimony as Caleb did. Caleb's testimony was based on his character. Based on his character through his honesty. He was honest to God. He was honest to his servants. He was honest to what he was doing. He was honest to Moses. He came back and he brought back the truth to Moses of what was happening there in the land in that day. Not only that, he was charitable. He was charitable in giving. Giving what? of his time. He was charitable and giving what? His talent. He was charitable in giving everything to the Lord. Not only was he honest and charitable, but having a good character as a Christian, you must be devoted to what? Not to this world. We needed to be devoted to the Lord God, Jehovah God, the one that allowed us to have the opportunity to be saved. He didn't have to save us. He didn't even have to come where I was at. I wasn't looking for him. I wasn't looking for Jesus. But see, God was looking for me. That's the reason he sent his son, Jesus, from heaven, to come and be born through a virgin that day, that he could live the life before man on this great God-given earth that we live on. And it's just not here in the United States. It's worldwide. He gives his life for me. He gives his life for humanity. And the reason I say he gives his life for humanity is because we sometimes, we look at it as, well, I don't believe you're going to save him. You don't know who he's going to save. You don't know who's going to ask him. I don't either. I don't know who the next one's going to get saved. But it could be the one that completes the bride. And you know about the bride. I've spoken about it before. Could be the one. It could be the one. But who is it to go and tell people? The vast majority of all the Christians that's been saved by the grace of God, they need to have the testimony, and they need to have the fortitude to tell people about their life and what God has done for them. God has done so much for me. And no doubt I can ask you the same thing and you'll agree with me. He's done so much for me. He's done so much for me that I cannot even count all the time that he's been there. You know the reason that I can't even count the number of times that he's been there for me? It's because I know in my heart of hearts that he is there. He lives within my heart. When my brother, when he passed away, my mother, she was so she could not get over that. That was the hardest. And I knew she was going to have a hard time. But she had the same thing with my stepfather. But even today, if she gets to talking about my brother Darrell, she said, I just want to see him one more time. One more time I want to see him. I said, Mama, you said you're saved, right? She said, yeah, I know I'm saved. I said, you're going to see him one more time. But that one more time that you see him, That time is not going to cease. She said, I said, Mama, I says, Darrell would not want to come back here. If the Lord Jesus went to him and says, Brother, if you want to, I will go and talk to the Father about letting you go back for a little while and see your grieving mother. He says, Lord, I'm not trying to be selfish, but I don't want to go back. And you say in your word that we'll see individuals again. Yes, he'll see my mother again. And I'll see him again. And my mother will see him. And if my other brother ever gets saved, he will see him again. One thing about it. When I see him, I will be able to go up to him and I'll be able to say, Brother, how you doing? See, that was for a long time. Yes, he was my natural bloodline. He was my brother by bloodline. But he wasn't my brother in Christ. So I didn't feel like calling him brother here. I know some people do. And they'll call their sister sis or something like that. And that's fine. That's okay. But I couldn't do that. I couldn't see it. Because he wasn't my spiritual brother. And I think it's when we speak to other Christians, and if we know that they know Jesus Christ and they've made that commitment to him, we need to recognize in what God has done for them, and we need to not call them by Mr. or Mrs., which I know that's the thing of the day in school and all like that, and the parents are trying to teach the children to have respect for the elderly. I'll agree with you on that. But when it comes down to a Christian, I don't go to Bill and say, Mr. Huff, how you doing today? Matter of fact, I mean, I said two words there. Mister, which is nowhere on his birth certificate. I don't think, unless Miss Huff, if they put it there. But the reason you didn't put it there is because he was a new infant. We cannot be a child of God unless we hear the gospel and we ask Jesus Christ to come into our heart and save us. And then when he does, then I'm not supposed to approach him as Mr. Huff or Bill Huff. I'm supposed to approach him. According to God's word now, this is not according to what I say. This is according to what God says. I'm supposed to approach him as brother. Brother Huff or Brother Bill. But I'm always supposed to use the word brother when I approach him. And when I approach one of you, then I'm not supposed to approach you as Miss Taylor or Mrs. Taylor or whatever. I'm not supposed to do that. If I come and if I approach you and if I know that you're saved, then I'm supposed to come and say, Sister Irma or Sister Taylor. That's according to God's word. That's not something I'm making up. It's there in the book. We don't even know who the Christians are here anymore. Why? Because we don't know who the brothers and sisters are. We don't recognize them anymore. We need to recognize the Christians. The Christians is the foundation of the life that we live. If we don't have the true foundation of God, then what? We are people that's most miserable. And I believe the individual that's more miserable than that is the one that's been in church, has come forward and asked Jesus Christ to save them. And he did. If they asked him, he saved them. He didn't just save them for a month or two or a year or two, but he saved them for eternity. But now, if they're out of church, if they're not in church, if they're not serving God, I believe they are people that's more miserable than anyone else. I believe they're more miserable than the one right here that's lost. Why? Because they know what's right, but they're not doing what's right. The source of light. We have this source. And I'm not plugged into no 110. I'm not plugged into no 220. I'm not plugged into no 540. I'm not plugged in that way. My heart is there with Jesus. That's where my heart is. You know where Jesus is at today? Within my own life? Right here. Right here in my heart. I have people tell me all the time that's lost a loved one. And you can talk to them and they say, I know they're in heaven, but I just miss them. I says, they're right there with you. They're right there with you. If you know God, they're right there with you. What are you saying? I've told my mother the same thing. I said, Mama, I says, Darrell's right here in the apartment with you. She said, well, I can't see him. I can't talk to him. I said, oh, yes, you can.
You can talk to him.
You can see him with your spiritual eyesight also. I said, but you need to remember this. Always remember this. If you're saved, and if you're saved, we saved this morning. Where does Jesus live in our life? In our heart. Right? He took up an abode with us in us. And it's not just the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. What is that about? 18 inches. Maybe about 18 inches from the top of my head to my heart. And I told him my glasses. He's right there next to you. He's right there with you. What is he? I can see him. I says, and he with Jesus? Yeah. I said, okay, what is Jesus in your mind? If he's not in your heart, then you need to get saved. And then Darrell will take you right there in your heart with the Savior. Mama, don't ask me how to explain a whole lot of stuff that I've just said. I've just done my very best to explain to you what the Bible says. And this book, the Bible that I preach from, I've had people tell me, and I've had missionaries tell me, yes, all through the book, it speaks of lies. The book has many lies in it. I says, well, I don't know what book they got, but the book that I preach from, that's God's Word. And I think it's over in
it's even in the book of Timothy or Corinthians, one or the other. I can't remember which right now. I think it's in the book of Timothy or Titus. It says that God cannot lie. God cannot lie. If there is something in here that is where people can look at it, they can read it, and they say,
Well, we got to realize that God did not write this book. Man wrote this book. Man pinned it down. Man wrote it. But what we got to realize is in God's Word, that's the Word that we got to look to. It's Him. His Word, He says His Word is settled there in heaven. How long has His Word been settled in heaven? It's been there a long time. It's been settled a long time. And they want to take this out of God's Word. They want to take that. They want to say, well, we don't have to have the King James. We can go out here and we can use the NIV. We can use the New Translation. We can use the Standard Bible, the Living Bible, whatever. Well, I tell you what, if you're going to use that in my pulpit, then bless Pat, then I can get up here and I can just read your story out of one of the magazines, because that's all it is a story. No conviction back. Conviction comes through God's Word. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And God, I pray this morning, Father, that each one of us had heard something that will give us the power through the source of light that we have. That, Father, that we will be able to go and just share our love for you. In other words, Father, just share our testimony, what you've done for us since we've been saved. And Father, if we do that, if I went and if I shared to someone what you've done for me since I've been saved, Father, I would have to say to them, pull up a chair, we're going to be here for a while. We're going to be there more than 10 minutes or 15 minutes or more there than an hour. But Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that to the lost that's out here, they don't want us to keep rambling on and on and on. They say it's rambling. We say it's testifying. Father, because we do not want to discourage the people, because the people is discouraged already. They're discouraged with what they see in life. They are discouraged about the jobs, about the financial situations. They're disturbed about their health. Father, they really can't say that they're disturbed about what God is doing, because they haven't seen it yet. Father, if they would just give their heart and their life to you, that you would bless them in such a way that they would say, it's impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. But with us, there is nothing possible. Everything is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. We thank you and we love you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.